Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for checking out this bonus edition of the 12 Kyle podcast. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. I have a question for you. How would you feel if you were associated with an event, a historical event, and every time you watched a sporting event, you're reminded of your association with that historical event? And it's positive and it's negative. How would you feel? All right, check this out. I got a story to tell. All right, so back in the day, I love to start stories with back in the day. Back in the day, at this football game, there was something that happened that was unprecedented. And I'm going to share this story with you and tie everything in so you'll get where I'm coming from. The day was November 19th, 1978. Now, I'm sure most of you who are listening and watching on YouTube, thank you for watching. You probably weren't around. I was around and I was outside. I was actually just a couple of weeks from turning 6 years old. So I was five at the time. And I remember this quite vividly, actually. There was a football game between the New York Football Giants and the Philadelphia Eagles. The Giants were playing at home in their stadium called it was the Meadowlands at the time, against their division rival, the Philadelphia Eagles. At the time of this game, the Giants were, I think they were on like a 3-game losing streak. They were 5-6. Their playoff chances were kind of fading and, you know, hope was lost. But lo and behold, it's the fourth quarter and they're ahead in this game. They're winning and it looks like they're going to win because they have the ball and there's only a few seconds left on the clock. I think it was like maybe 30 seconds left on the clock. And they're going to win this game, right? And so on the other side, Philadelphia, they're again their division rival. They're down by, you know, a few points and they're not going to win this game and they're kind of dejected. Now, the Giants were ahead at the time, 17-12, right? And so just to give you a little backstory, in the previous weeks, again, they were on this losing streak. There had been some discussion. There had been some frustration between some of the players on the Giants team, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, between their quarterback, their running backs, and the coaches. And so a lot of blame, a lot of pointing, finger pointing and everything. And so it wasn't a good look for the Giants, right? And at this point in time, I'm a Giants fan. There is no there is no Sunday ticket. So, you know, growing up in South Carolina, I didn't see a lot of Giants football. You would see highlights, but, you know, there was no guarantee that the game was going to be on. We caught quite a few games, but this game in particular was on TV, right? And like I said, it's the Giants winning 17-12. So they're up by 5 points. It's only like 30 seconds left in the game. They have the ball. So all they have to do basically is just kill the clock. Well, as legend would have it, their offensive coordinator sent in a play. And on the play, he told the quarterback, whose name is Joe Pisarcik, he told Joe Pisarcik to give the ball to the fullback. The fullback's name is Larry Zonka. He's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And so, you know, all they have to do is run one play. And once Zonka gets tackled, that's the ball game. Well, the play before this play in particular that I'm about to describe, Zonka and the quarterback Pisarcik both got knocked down. And so when the play comes in the huddle, Pisarcik calls the play. I think it's called 65 power. And he calls 65 power. And allegedly, Zonka says, "Hey, don't give me the ball." Now, let's stop right here for a second. The play comes in and it's for you to get the ball, and you tell the quarterback, no, I don't want the ball, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But I mean, hey, this is the story that's being told, right? I mean, it's many, many, many years later, so I'm not sure who's telling the truth. So the Giants head coach was on the sidelines for whatever reason. John McVay. John McVay did not hear the call that came in through from the offensive coordinator, whose name is Bob Gibson. No relation to the real late great pitcher Bob Gibson. He called the play, and the play was for the quarterback Joe Pisarcik to give the ball to the fullback Larry Zonka on 65 power. Well, Philly on the other side, like I said, they're down 17-12. So this is, in essence, the last play of the game. There's no way that they're going to come back, because if the Giants, you know, if once the play is over, this upcoming play is over, it's the ball game and, you know, you shake hands, and you go home, and they're headed back to Philly with a loss. But a strange thing happens. instead of just taking the snap and, you know, falling down, instead of taking the snap and, you know, handing the ball off to Zonka, Joe Pisarcik, when the play came in, Pisarcik could have waved the play off. He had that ability as a quarterback, right? But Pisarcik had only been on the team, I think, 2 years. So he was relatively new, and he had waved a play off the week before and got in trouble with the coaches, right? So he does not call this playoff, right? And so he decides to run the play as called. Now, there's a story floating around that Zonka allegedly told Pisarcik, don't give me the ball, as they broke the huddle. But again, I don't really know why, if you're the fullback and the ball is supposed to come to you, why don't you want to get the ball? That's beside the point. So let me take you through it. So the ball gets snapped, and as it gets snapped, Pisarcik sort of fumbles the ball a little bit in his hand. And he turns and goes to give it to Zonka. But as he's turning to give it to Zonka, as Zonka's running forward for 65 power, Zonka doesn't even have his hands up to receive the ball, and the ball bounces off of Zonka's hip. So it doesn't hit him. So I'm trying to demonstrate here. If you're watching on YouTube, you see what I'm doing. So instead of him turning and giving the ball and putting it in his stomach, which is what a quarterback should do, Pisarcik is fumbling the ball as he's turning to give it to Zonka. And subsequently, the ball hits Zonka on the side and not in the stomach. And the next thing that happens is the ball is fumbled on the ground. Now, again, this is the last play of the game. This is the last play. No other plays after this. The ball bounces on the ground. And there's a cornerback on the other side of the field by the name of Herman Edwards. If you watch TV, you should know who he is. He was a former coach in the NFL. He's now a TV personality, coached in college as well. Yes, that Herm Edwards. Young Herm Edwards sees the ball on the ground, picks it up, scoops it up, and runs to the opposite end zone to score a touchdown on the final play of the game. And the Giants lose the game 19-17. So let me go back again. All the Giants had to do was kill the clock in some way, shape, or form, or fashion. And Pisarcik tries to hand the ball off to Zonka. Zonka, from what we could tell, don't want the ball. The ball hits off his hip, bounces on the ground a couple of times. Herman Edwards picks it up, runs it in for the score. The Eagles win what would be called the miracle at the Meadowlands. And it was a miracle because they had 0% of chances of winning that game. But Pisarcik fumbled the ball. Pisarcik and Zonka fumbled the ball. And so as you can imagine, the Giants fans who were in Giants Stadium that particular day, all hell broke loose. They were mad. They were throwing things. They were cussing people out. I mean, like, the coaches would subsequently get fired. It was just bad. I mean, like, if there was a poster child for bad football, that was the play, and those were the players. And it all fell on the New York Football Giants. That's a terrible defeat. And so subsequently, what happened after that was teams kind of got smartened, and they said, well, you know what? We're not going to ever put ourselves in that position again. So now what you see is when the game is decided and the offense has the ball, instead of running a play, if they're only like a couple of seconds left in the game, you know what they will do. They will set up in what they call a victory formation. So you have your linemen, you have your running backs, and then there's someone all the way in the back. It's usually a receiver. But that person is back there. In the event there's a fumble, they can tackle the defender. But what happens is the quarterback says, hut, and he takes a knee, and the game is over. You see that at halftime, going into halftime too, but more, it's more prevalent at the end of the game. And it's called victory formation. And that was a byproduct of Pisarcik and Zonka literally and figuratively fumbling away a victory. Now, the flip side, when you watch football or any sporting event for that matter, a lot of times you see when there's a victory, you see a player or two take a huge Gatorade bucket, and whatever's in the bucket of Gatorade, whether it be water or Gatorade, you see them dump it over the coach's head in celebration. There's a story behind that as well, and I'm going to tie it all together. Back in 1984, the New York Giants, again, were playing a football game, and they had a nose tackle by the name of Jim Burke, great guy. The Giants were coached by legendary and Hall of Fame, multiple Super Bowl winning coach Bill Parcells. Now, Parcells is very much known to be a strict motivator type of guy. And for whatever reason, this particular week, when they were leading up to play against another arch rival from their conference, this time it was against the Washington. Well, they at that particular time, they're called the Redskins. They're now called the Washington Commanders. They were playing against the Redskins, and that particular week leading up to the game, Parcells was all over Jim Burke. He was riding Jim Burke, talking trash about him, telling him that he wasn't good enough. Now, keep in mind, Burke is the starting nose tackle for the Giants. So imagine the head coach just getting on the case of, you know, a player on his team for no reason. I mean, like, they said that as soon as practice started, like, Parcells was all over Jim Burke. And he did that subsequently throughout the entire week. So once the Giants actually won the game, it was a home game against the Redskins. The Giants won 37 to 13. Jim Burke, because he was mad at Parcells, went over to the Gatorade bucket, and unbeknownst to him, because Parcells had his back turned, Burke picked up the Gatorade bucket and dumped Gatorade on Parcells because he was mad at it. Well, that became a trend. The Giants, and that was 84, the Giants would go on for the next year and a half or so in spot times, dump Gatorade on Parcells after a victory. Because here's the thing. Bill Parcells is an extremely superstitious coach, right? And so he always told them, like, he believed in doing things a certain way. And if something worked one week, he'd want to do it again the next week, particularly if it worked in victory. So if, yeah, I don't know if his left shoe was untied and they won against the Redskins and they were playing against the Cowboys the next week, he would leave that left shoe untied. Just he was trying to gain any type of competitive advantage that he could. And subsequently, so he was like that. But there was a guy on the team that picked up the idea and the concept of dousing the coach with a victory Gatorade bath, and his name was Harry Carson, one of Burt's teammates. Harry Carson played linebacker for the New York Football Giants. As many of you know, or maybe you don't know, Harry Carson is my uncle. He's my mom's baby brother. He just like me is from Florence, South Carolina, and he also, just like me, starred at South Carolina State University. Now, he was a star at South Carolina State University. I played at South Carolina State University. And it was South Carolina State College when he was there. He played from 1972 to 1976. So he was the man and subsequently was drafted by the New York Giants in 1976. He played 13 years, all with the New York Giants, being voted to the Pro Bowl nine times and won the Super Bowl in 1986. And he is a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. To say that I'm proud of my uncle is a huge understatement. I tell people all the time, while he may be a Hall of Fame linebacker, he is more of a Hall of Fame person than he is a linebacker. So whatever you think about him as a player, take that and multiply it. He is just that great of a person. Love my uncle to life. And so that became his thing, particularly during the 1986 season, because that would be the season where the Giants would go 14-2, roll all the way to the Super Bowl and get the Super Bowl victory against the Denver Broncos. I think the final score was 37-20, I think, in the Super Bowl. That game was held in Pasadena, a game that I actually attended in the Rose Bowl in January of 1987. I was in the eighth grade. So that became the thing. So my uncle would douse Bill Parcells after every victory. And it became a thing where they started getting a lot of notoriety for it because, like, it was the thing. And even the TV cameras would catch him throwing Gatorade on Parcells. And it was the thing. And it became the signal of victory to the point of my uncle actually got a Gatorade contract out of it. For dousing Bill Parcells with Gatorade. And what's funny, even in the Super Bowl, not only did he douse Bill Parcells once, but he did it twice. He did once with Gatorade, once with water. And that was the thing. That was their thing. And it was that was the symbol of victory to douse your coach with Gatorade. And so in victory and defeat, there's a tie here. And where I'm going to tie both of these stories is Harry Carson, my uncle, was a member of that football team in 1978 on the Giants that lost the Miracle in the Meadowlands, where Joe Passarci gave the game away, or Larry Zonka gave the game away. And then he was also a part of, or what I call the godfather, because in essence, he is the godfather of the Gatorade bath. So he's tied to history. And I don't know if he's ever thought about it like this. Hell, I didn't think about it until I started recording this podcast. But he is really tied to sporting lore and sporting history, particularly football history, when you think about it, because every game you see a team line up in victory formation. It's because of the game that he lost to the Eagles. And every game, in just about every sport nowadays, because it's not just regulated to football. You see it in basketball, you see it in baseball, you see it in hockey. You see it all over where the coach gets doused with the Gatorade. And he's tied to that, too, because he's the godfather of the Gatorade bath. And so, a little known fact, Harry Carson is perpetually tied to sports history, and you can see his tie in almost every football game, because in almost every football game there's going to be a team that's going to line up in victory formation, and in almost every football game you're going to see a coach get doused with Gatorade. And so that's a little small part of history, good and bad. So in essence, the agony of defeat has turned to a bit of positive history for him. And the thrill of victory is definitely a part of his history because, again, he's the godfather of the Gatorade bath. And that is a small piece of history that I think he, if he ever stopped to think about it, in fact, I may call him and remind him of it. Of all the things he's done, I'm sure he's proud of a lot of accomplishments, but that's something that he accomplished that he didn't really have to do, but he did it anyway. And that's something to brag about. I just did. That's my uncle. And I'm proud of him. And he's a part of history. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for me. Thank you for checking out this bonus edition of the 12 Kyle podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. The podcast drops every Thursday at midnight. From time to time, we drop bonus episodes just like this on Sundays at midnight. Now, if you haven't done so already, subscribe on YouTube. There's a video for every podcast. There's audio for every podcast on YouTube. Also, you can find a podcast on all streaming platforms. We're everywhere, wherever you get your fine podcast. If you're on social media, hit us up. Follow me at 12 Kyle on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Threads. You can also follow the podcast. The podcast has its own TikTok page. Follow us on TikTok where you'll get clips, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook as well, and Threads. And if you feel so inclined, you want to throw us a couple of dollars, you can do that as well. We won't turn it down. $TWELVEKYLE. Be sure to check the link tree. You see the link tree. You can go in, and when you click that link, you will see where you can purchase merch. Yes, that's something new that we're doing now. 12 Kyle podcast t-shirts, mugs, hoodies, whatever you want, you can get there by clicking the link. Again, that's going to do it for me. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. Thanks again for checking out this bonus edition of the 12 Kyle podcast. I will catch y'all next time. 5-0-0-0.